Bonneville.com/federal.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today I'm here with Jim York, president at Fox Hedge, and he is a certified Scrum trainer and coach. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning, John. Very good this morning. Thanks.
I have to tell the audience, the reason I have Jim in here is because over the summer I was in the Pentagon at a very, very high-level person's office at the top of the pyramid there. Spent an hour talking to him, and he reinforced the fact that he wanted his people to move in a more flexible way to develop software. You can call it lean, agile, Scrum technology. And like all good things, I thought this would benefit my audience. So I went to my software developers, and I said, who's the best around? And everyone said Jim York. And I said, well, who could he possibly be? And he turns out he's right here local, right here in Loudoun County. And so we thought to bring him in and maybe benefit some of our federal program managers to learn about Scrum and the Scrum Alliance and what it takes to become a Scrum professional. And that's why we have Jim in here. But I'm talking too much. Jim, maybe the listeners would like to know about your background and how you wound up being an expert in the area of Scrum.
Well, John, I started a couple decades ago developing applications in a small local management consulting company. I was developing those applications without the benefit of learning any methodology. I was a math and English major in school.
A math and English major. That's pretty normal, isn't it?
Well, I think of them both as being languages. One perhaps a little more disciplined than the other, and I'll leave it up to you to guess which one.
English.
Probably so. But both of them deal with communications. And I think that was the primary approach I had with developing applications, was focusing on communications with the various stakeholders, principal focus being on the ultimate users of the application, but keeping in mind all of the various other stakeholders, the people who are paying for it, for example, the managers that had other expectations around it. So everyone has an agenda. But the key thing was communicating very closely with the people who are actually going to use the software, the people who are going to benefit from the things that we were building. And the approach I used was simply to sit down with those customers and learn very much what their job was and how I could help them. And I would build them something incrementally, a little bit each day, and I would put it into their hands as quickly as I could. And I found that this gave me a lot of feedback on what I was doing well and what I was not doing so well. And as I was doing this, the demand started to grow, and I started having to hire people to help me build applications. And I didn't burden them with any methodology. I simply helped them understand how I worked with customers. And pretty soon, I found myself building teams. Ultimately, our clients learned what we were doing for them in building these applications, and some of them had internal development groups and asked for help working with their teams to teach their teams how to work more collaboratively with their customers. And I found myself transitioning from being an in-the-trenches developer doing the analysis, the design, the coding, the testing, the training, the post-deployment support, all the soup-to-nuts things that you would do as a team of one. I found myself moving into building or helping organizations build their own teams and teach them how to do that. So I felt that was more of a multiplier effect.
Yeah, that's not a math or an English skill. That's, I think, an emotional IQ skill more than anything, is building teams. Boy, they try to teach that at West Point. They try to teach that at Harvard MBA. I mean, that may be the biggest challenge of all. I just want to put this discussion in maybe a big framework. Many listeners know kind of debates in the industry. Some don't. Software has been developed for, I don't know, 50, 60 years now. I guess a standard traditional way to do it is something called the waterfall method, where someone comes in, they make a long list of exactly what they want, and then you close your eyes, and 1 year later, they show up with a product that you hate. And then the fights begin, and then a high percentage of failures is due to this old traditional way. And over the years, an upstart young whippersnapper way has developed, where it's more flexible and lean and agile. And one of these techniques is called XP, Extreme Programming. Another one of these techniques is called Scrum. And that's what Jim's expertise is in the area of Scrum methodology for software development. So I want to give this for the benefit of the people who are just listening to get a better idea of what Jim York's all about, or maybe try to find out what this Scrum stuff is all. Now, so Scrum is like it's a sport. It's the rugby, right? It's a bunch of tough guys all beating each other up or something. Or what's the idea behind this whole Scrum thing? So you talk about teams. I guess it's got something to do with teams. Is that right?
It definitely has something to do with teams. Scrum, the word, is used to describe a work management framework. It is a team-based work management framework for doing any kind of creative work. And the term came out of an article that was written in 1986 by a couple of Japanese researchers, Takeuchi and Nonaka. It was published in the Harvard Business Review called The New Product Development Game. And in that article, the researchers were describing some characteristics of super high-performing teams, global teams. And it turned out that two key characteristics were, one, they approached problems by chunking them into smaller bits and solving them incrementally, getting things into the hands of customers quickly, again, getting rapid feedback. And the second characteristic was intense collaborative teamwork. And they used a metaphor there of Scrum. They actually talked about rugby. Scrum was pulled from this article, the name Scrum was pulled from the article, to describe that intense collaborative teamwork. And the Scrum framework it started in about 1992 and has been relatively unchanged since that time. There have been some minor enhancements and changes to it. But the
idea is that all the groups move forward together, the software developers and the people who are going to use the end product and the managers, they all kind of move together instead of one getting ahead of the other. They come to some kind of a mutual agreement. Is that the idea behind a Scrum project?
That's really the idea. The way I like to think of it is it's a very collaborative whole team environment. When a team focuses on getting something done, they essentially swarm on the thing that needs to get done. And the reason why they do this is because the thing that they're working on is extremely important. One of the key principles in Scrum is that we always prioritize our work based upon the highest value items being at the top of our queue of work to do. And because that's our highest value, it tends to be urgent, and it's the kind of thing that teams can focus and understand, get their arms around, and push their energies into getting done quickly.
So we look at this from a 50, 60-year perspective. Mid-80s, they come up with looking at successful teams. Early 90s, they talk about Scrum. Right around 2000, they come up with this Agile Manifesto. And you can Google that and learn more about this Agile Manifesto. It's a way of being loose and flexible and trying to move software projects along more efficiently. And now we see a transition of everything moving to the cloud and a lot of challenges just in of that itself. You talked about a list of priorities, and there's some specific terminologies involved with the area of Scrum. And this is called a product backlog. Is that right?
That's right. Scrum has got some specific terminology to describe some fairly classic practices. These are not new to Scrum. These are things that I think any effective and successful team has done, any successful organization. The prioritized list or queue of work for the team is in Scrum called a product backlog. You might think of this in more general terms as a to-do list. The list is prioritized just like a to-do list would be for any kind of work. And it's not really, you don't want to think about it as the requirements, because if you were to think of it as being your requirements, I, for one, would feel bad if I didn't get it all done. In Scrum, we don't necessarily feel bad about not getting it all done, because in any prioritized list, the things that are down near the bottom are relatively not that valuable. So we may decide to cut and run at some earlier point in our work on the product backlog simply because we've reached a level of diminishing returns.
We are going to have to take a break here and continue our discussion on Scrum methodology after the break. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Jim York, president at Fox Hedge. He's a certified Scrum trainer and coach.
Federal news and information just got more fun and interesting. Amy Morris joins Tom Temin on The Federal Drive, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Tom and Amy tailor their show for Feds on the go with usable information from trustworthy and seasoned journalists. You're going to learn, but they also might make you laugh. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Jim York, who's a president at Fox Hedge. He is a certified Scrum trainer and coach. If you'd like to get more information on Jim, just fire up your Google machine and type in Jim York and then Scrum, and you'll stumble on a lot of information. Maybe some felony convictions, huh, Jim? Maybe not. But you get a lot of information on how to get trained in a software methodology called Scrum, which is a very agile and flexible one. Many of my listeners are federal IT professionals, and they have a big challenge, like most software developers. They have a budget, they have a time frame, they have to be quick, and they have to be accurate. And they may look at this Scrum methodology and go, well, you know, there's a lot of challenges here for federal folks to implement an agile methodology. Jim, what are your comments on a comment like that?
Well, it is a challenge. I think implementing software in and of itself is a complex activity, so it has many challenges. I think the advantage that Scrum brings to it is it's a very simple set of rules, a very basic framework. It's almost like playing a game. And within that framework, you have a lot of flexibility to do what it is that you need to do to get the work done. At the same time, you need to honor the constraints that you have. If you've got a set budget, if you've got a set deadline, you have to honor that. You have to respect those. You can't just ignore that. Or if you have particular standards or guidelines or regulatory compliance, those are all things that are part of the game that you're playing. The article that was written in the Harvard Business Review was titled "The New Product Development Game" because it is a game.
Mm.
And we're trying to optimize the results. And the results are ultimately the benefits that accrue to the people who use the service or the product that you're creating. At the same time, there are many factors that influence that game. You have the people who are paying for the product or service. You have the people that are allocating the money for it. You have the people that are executing the budget spend. You have the people who are actually creating the product. And you have the ultimate customers. And trying to satisfy all of these various stakeholders is a non-trivial activity.
It's a challenge. I think many of our listeners know the statistics. I mean, you can pick up, hey, November 8th, Network World, just go to the editorial page and see the editor talks about software projects that fail. And this guy, he's an interesting figure. He says that systems that are between $2 and $3 million, there's 50% failure rate in there. Now, my listeners, you work with the federal government, everything's going to be big, and so everything's going to be risky and a high percentage of failure. So what Scrum can do is it can take that failure rate and reduce it. At least this is what the history shows.
It does show that there is a reduction in the failure rate. Now, all the various statistics that come out on success and failure, I guess the key question is, what is success and what are the measures? Scrum looks at the value that's being created for your customers. And if we are playing this as a game, we're simply going to do the best possible game we can, given the constraints that we have. Failure is something that we all encounter. And if we're going to fail, one thing that Scrum and other agile methodologies help you to do is, if you're going to fail, you're going to fail fast, because the feedback that's provided in the mechanism will tell you that the thing that you're building is, in fact, the wrong thing for the outcome that you're trying to achieve. So I don't necessarily view all failures as a bad thing. If a failure allows us to understand what it is that we should be building and redirect our activities towards that and ultimately achieve a better result at the end, I welcome that sort of failure.
So Scrum focuses in on customer needs, focuses in on continuous process improvement. And many of your listeners, of course, are interested in continuous process improvement, especially with this flux in the technology now with cloud computing and all kinds of different paradigms just for putting together large projects. There are some terms that are normally associated with Scrum methodology. We talked about a product backlog. So this term Scrum Master, so is a Scrum Master the same thing as a product manager, or what is a Scrum Master anyway?
Yeah, in Scrum we have three roles. We have a Scrum Master, we have another one called a Product Owner, and we have the Development Team. The Scrum Master is really a leader, a facilitator in this process. Many times organizations don't recognize the critical aspect of this role in helping the organization improve continuously. A lot of times Scrum Masters are implemented as just a heads-down focused leader for the development team. That is shortchanging the role. This individual is looking at the whole organizational delivery system that exists and helping improve all aspects of it. At the end of the day, if all you do is improve the development team's activities and start producing better, higher quality things faster, if those things don't ultimately move through your delivery chain and get in the hands of customers quickly, it's all for nothing.
So is Scrum Master, is that too strong a term? Should it be a Scrum Coach or Scrum Facilitator or Scrum Org? I mean, just Masters has that, you know, that strength there, doesn't it?
Yeah, the Scrum Master term really came about to create a key distinction between what we were talking about and the traditional project management role. A Scrum Master, it's you think about it being a chess master. Chess is a very simple game in its rules. Like Scrum is a very simple game. But for you and me trying to play that game, in order to get to a level of master, it would take us a long time. We can't go to a two-day class and walk away being a chess master. You can't go to a two-day Scrum class and walk away being a Scrum Master unless you came into it being a master in the first place. So I think it is a strong term. If people who are very effective in this role can make a big difference for their organizations, but it is not something that takes little time. It's something that takes a lot of practice, and it takes a special skill set and talent for the individual who's trying to do it.
Yeah, and before the interview started, we talked about IQ and EQ and emotional IQ and social IQ. I'm thinking that the Scrum Master really... it has to be technically competent, but I think he has to be articulate and be sensitive enough to the needs of other groups in the organization. You have to understand what your developers are up, but you have to understand what the end product is. And you're balancing this every Scrum meeting, whether it's weekly or biweekly, whatever the time frame is.
Yeah, the Scrum Master, I think a high EQ is a critical component here. A Scrum Master is really a people person. They are focused on empowering people and enabling people to realize their potential and having those people work together as a team that can realize its full potential. So Scrum Master at the end of the day is really a people person. They are all about developing people.
I don't want to seem sexist here, but I work for a small company. Some of our best people in this role are women. I don't know, good or bad, it just happens to be. Maybe it's a sensitivity they have to different needs and not being blindsided by, no, you forgot about this. It just seems to have this this push and pull that is easier for them now. Hey, I'll be complaint letters on this. But I don't know, have you seen that? Am I biased here?
I don't know if there's a bias there or not. It does take a special kind of individual. And the cases where I've seen Scrum Masters anointed as opposed to the Scrum Master emerging, it tends not to work as well. The Scrum Master really can come from any place. So there's not a direct mapping into a traditional title. It's really the person that has the right characteristics and really has that focus and that passion around developing people.
And some of the best ones I've seen have backgrounds in environmental engineering. Well, wait a minute, you have a background in environmental engineering, you wind up in software and you wind up as a Scrum Master. Well, look at that skill set with environmental engineering. You're looking at many different long-term implications of subtle things, aren't you?
Absolutely. I think we're looking at an ecosystem, and the development of software or a product or service really is an ecosystem. It's someone who comes and looks at it from a holistic perspective and sees that big picture and is able to work the big picture.
We're going to switch from the big picture to the small picture. Here we have to take and have a quick commercial break. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Jim York, President at Fox Hedge, certified Scrum trainer and coach.
In Depth with Francis Rose, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Want to know how Congress is affecting your agency's staffing and budget? Want to learn more about the relationship between your agency and its contractors? In Depth helps you become a better manager by exploring the best ways to manage projects, manage your workforce, and manage yourself. In Depth with Francis Rose, weekday afternoons from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Jim York, president at Fox Hedge. He's a certified Scrum trainer and coach. We're talking about software development, talking about a lean, kind of an agile, flexible software methodology called Scrum. One word you'll see associated with the Obama administration is transparency. Everything has to be transparent. And some people will say, well, you know, there is so much transparency in Scrum that it's never going to fit the federal model. Well, I don't know about that. Well, what do you think, Jim?
Well, transparency is again, another one of those constraints. There are certain circumstances in which there is definitely a need to know, but Scrum tends to lean towards the openness of information to the extent possible. The more transparency we can have, the better our inspections can be as to where we are against our goals, and the better we are able to make the appropriate adaptation to the feedback that we get. So we try to get all the information out there available to everyone that needs to know in order to make it possible to make the best possible decisions.
In fact, he can claim that, hey, we were transparent before transparency was cool. You can say, no. One part of the Scrum methodology is, if you've ever seen Scrum teams work, they usually have stuff on walls where people, the cleaning crew, or can walk by and see what step they are, or how they prioritize different tasks they want to accomplish. I think that's a better phrase. Huh?
Yeah, we try to pull the information out of the computer screens and get it on the walls in a very large font, so that people walking by, people who are sitting at a table in a conference room working together as a team, can simply look up on the wall and see the important information, the information that they need to make the right moves in their playing of the game.
So if you're a federal program manager and maybe kind of curious about flexible software development, you can go to training classes. In fact, Jim runs a lot of them. If you want to get more information, you can go to Google and type in Jim York Scrum, and you'll wind up at his website and find out about these training classes. And what you do is you train people to become certified Scrum professionals. Is that right? What kind of classifications are there?
Well, we have in the Scrum framework, we have several different certification levels. We have the foundational levels, which are a certified Scrum Master and a certified Scrum Product Owner. After getting those designations and practicing Scrum with your teams and your organizations for a year, you can apply to become a certified Scrum professional. This is really the more meaningful certification. This is not only have you been to a class and learned what the framework is, but you've been out there in the real world actually doing it. So any recruiters out there that are looking for experienced Scrum people, the certification level that you really want to look for is the CSP. Above that, there are two additional levels. They are equivalent in their level. They're guide level. One is a certified Scrum trainer. This is an individual who can certify other people as certified Scrum Masters or certified product owners. And a certified Scrum coach. And a certified Scrum coach is an individual who is effective of working on site with an organization, helping them transform their organization into a more lean and agile organization using the Scrum framework.
Now, we've spent a half hour discussing Scrum. We haven't mentioned a key concept called a sprint. We these huge mountains involved in your field of expertise we haven't even touched on. When I think of Scrum, I think of getting quick feedback, and feedback works well in small cycles, and this may be a theme, and it's probably one of the big themes of most Agile-type software methodologies, isn't it?
It is. One of the things we're going to do is we're going to work in very tight time boxes so that we can get that feedback, and in order to work in a tight time box, that forces us to take the items that we're going to commit to getting done in that time box and chunking them down into very small pieces. So the things that are our highest priority items in our product backlog tend to be very, very small, so that we can take on a number of them and get them done within a sprint and get that feedback.
We're going to have to end this interview, but I'd like to have you back in 6 months and maybe take a look at some of these key concepts like the sprint, the length of a sprint, and what exactly it means to have interaction within teams, and maybe talk about scrums and scrum of scrums and how these different teams can interact. I think it's a topic that's very appropriate for my audience, because people just can't afford to fail in large software projects, whether you work for the federal government or commercial organization, and this is a proven solution for that. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Jim York, who's the president at Fox Hedge. He's a certified Scrum trainer and coach. Thanks, Jim.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
Why does a waiting room have to feel like a waiting room? And does a stress test have to be so stressful? At Kaiser Permanente, we don't think it does, and we've made the changes to prove it. With brand new state-of-the-art facilities opening all around the Mid-Atlantic, like the Kaiser Permanente Capitol Hill Medical Center, we're poised to become the leader in healthcare for the D.C. and Baltimore area. With easier access to primary and specialty care, full-service radiology, lab tests, and pharmacy services, we're offering more choices than ever before. Our staff of top-notch physicians is growing by more than 200. providing greater access to care. And our innovative electronic medical records allow members to view their own medical history 24/7. Plus, members can email their doctor's office, check most lab results, refill prescriptions, and even choose their primary care and OBGYN, all online. The future in healthier care is already here. Find it at kp.org/MidAtlantic. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated. 21